How many here this morning, when you look at different Bible people, I don't want to call them necessarily characters, but different folks that we read about in the Word of God, Paul is a great man of God. Do you agree with me this morning? Amen. Many people I've heard say over the years that I would like to be Paul. I'd like to be like Paul. But I want to talk about one of the reasons that Paul was able to be successful. And I think it will help all of us here today. I want to speak to you today, when life is not fair, don't change your position, change your condition. All right? Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, that we can come here today, Lord, to hear you speak to us. I pray you anoint your servant and every heart here today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When life is not fair, don't change your position, change your condition. Our past obstacles, past sins, and even past success sometimes keeps us in the past. Amen? And it'll keep us from completing our journey. It maybe even keep us from receiving our crown. You see, our past can also keep us from reaching the goal that God has set for us to obtain. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. But this one thing I do," here it is, folks, "forgetting those things which are behind." Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, that's hard to do, isn't it? Now, if I ask for a show of hands, how many people, there's things from your past that haunt you. Probably everybody here would raise their hand. Come on. There's regrets. Man, if I would have, I just wish I'd have never done this or done that. We need to ensure that the things in our past, our past failures, our past sins, and our past successes do not stand in the way of us reaching our goals. We want to move from the past to the future. We all have a path and a calling, folks, that we have to travel and we have to fulfill. And the successful completion of our journey depends on us reaching towards the future and not staying in the past. Now, if you're not reaching toward the future, folks, how can you ever think of completing the race or getting to the end or reaching our goal? Philippians 3:12 through 14. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, when you look at verse 13, which says that we should reach forth unto those things which are before. And verse 14 states that press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you would agree that this has to do with the future, right? You're reaching forth something. You're headed toward the future. And that's what we need to be doing. Paul was not speaking about the past here. He is not saying that we should reach backwards and press away from. He is saying that we should reach forth and press toward. Now, this is talking about forward movement. This is something that is deliberately done towards the future. That is an action into the future. Let me give a little illustration. One of the most frustrating things when you're driving somewhere and you're in a hurry. You ever been there? You're in a hurry. It is one thing that most drivers hate and maybe even fear. And guess what that is? Slow traffic. Right? Slow traffic, especially when you think, I will take this shortcut. And you turn on the side, onto the street, and the cars are driving extremely slow. And now, folks, I must admit that I get a little, if not a lot, frustrated. Then you start to see some of the cars sitting there, and all of a sudden, they're making these U-turns, and they're going back. I was in Louisiana a few years ago, and they got an ice storm. And you couldn't go up on these bridges. These bridges are crazy anyway. They go up like this. It was bizarre. Now, you know, I'm from the north, so I'm a little used to that stuff. And I'm like, these folks were freaking out. And next thing I know, we're on this four-lane highway. And there are people going down through the median. And going over to the next street, going back. I'm like, where are they going? Some people got stuck in the median and everything else. It was crazy. But you see these people, they're not going to wait. And they turn and drive the other way. This is obviously the quickest road to their destination. But they were not willing to wait just a little bit longer in the traffic. They were not willing to stay the course. They're not willing to stay in their position. So because of their condition, they chose to change their position. You see, I usually choose to stay the course because it's the only short piece of road that you might have to endure. But because we are going so slow, we are able to give other cars coming in off the side roads a chance to also enter into the road that we are on. And usually, folks, the reason I say that is usually because if it wasn't going slow, you would drive past those cars that are trying to get on and you would even notice them. Right? But because we're going slow, we're seeing other people trying to get on the road where you are. And if my wife's in the car, she usually says, why don't you be a nice guy and let them in? So more than not, even if she's not in the car, I hear that voice anyways. So I try to let them in the road. I try to be that nice guy that, what would I want them to do for me? But you understand what I'm saying? If it wasn't for the slow traffic, you just zip right on by and you're like, free to hand. When we are going fast, we don't even realize it. Folks, God has placed us today on our road for a reason. He made us who we are. And he gave us what we need in order for us to stay on the road and stay the course. You see, but life is not always smooth sailing, is it? Sometimes life slows down. And sometimes things happen on this road that changes your condition. And maybe you fall into financial problems. Maybe you fall into marital problems or work-related problems or maybe even health problems. Whatever it might be, it has to do with your condition. And the thing is, folks, many people on the road, when they start experiencing problems, they choose to change their position. They choose to take another road. And the problem with this is that it is not the road that God chose for them. And instead of receiving blessings as a result of this, they lose out on the blessings that God intended for them. And just as I had an opportunity to get people on the road because of the condition I found myself in, so also, folks, you can get an opportunity to bring someone to salvation in Jesus Christ as a result of what is happening in your life. Hallelujah. You may be slowed down for a reason. Unless God has made slow us down in our road, wherever it is we're at, we may not notice it or even recognize the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. You would have been humming along on life like normal and not even recognize the opportunity that God had for you. You understand what I'm trying to say here today, folks? Amen. Sometimes we look at it as we get so frustrated. Why is this got to happen in my life? And God's saying, if you just pay attention here, I have something for you. Look to your right or look to your left. So rather than allowing your condition to influence your position, rather than changing your position because of your condition, you should change your condition and stay your position. So I want to talk about condition versus position. So the first question to ask is, what is my position? The Bible makes it very clear that we are in Christ Jesus, does it not? He is the tree and we are the branches. So we are spiritually fed by His blessings, by His grace, by His life. And if we are not connected to the tree, folks, then we are not in Him and He is not in us. Then it means that there is something wrong with our position if we're not in the branch, in the tree. Our condition is the state of our spiritual life. Are we new believers or are we mature believers? It is the spiritual growth you find yourself in. It is also what is going on in your life. It is the problem you experience on the road. So when I say that your condition should not be the cause of changing your position, I am in fact saying that it does not matter, folks, what happens in your life. Stay in Jesus Christ. Stay connected to the tree. Stay connected to God's blessings. Stay connected to God's graces. Stay connected to His power. Stay connected to His life. Because the moment your position as a Christian changes, that is the moment you are in serious trouble. That is the moment you not only get disconnected to the source of life, but you also lose out on His blessings He has for you. So you should never be content with your condition. Come along. You should only be content with your position. Now your condition should constantly change. Let me say this. Your condition should constantly change, but sometimes we find ourselves content with our current condition so much so that we do not move anymore. We stay in one place. Now, there are some people, some Christians that believe that when they have reached a certain age, or maybe have been saved a certain number of years, or maybe have gained a certain amount of knowledge, or have done a certain quality of work for the Lord, that they have reached the pinnacle of their condition. You know people like that sometimes? They believe that when they reached that point, that they can now stop and kind of relax and just cruise on in to heaven's pearly gates. But let's find out what Paul has to say about it. Let's look at some of Paul's qualifications. You see, in that preceding verse, Paul tells us how qualified he was. When you look at Philippians 3:4-6, it says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. You have confidence in the flesh? We shouldn't. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul say, look, if you think you can trust in the flesh, well, let me tell you something. I have more things I can trust in the flesh. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, Paul writes this letter to the church of Philippi. He is in jail, but he's still very positive. You see, this is about 30 years after his conversion that he writes this letter. So here, folks, in the verse we just read, Paul tells us that he did everything expected of him and more. From a human perspective, we could say he made it. He's there. He attained that perfect position. He did it. He reached his goal. He reached the perfect condition. But then Paul continues, everything is worthless in comparison to Jesus. Philippians 3:7-9. I once thought these things were valuable. That's awesome, isn't it? But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Verse 9, and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. That's powerful. Amen? So let me be clear today, folks. Paul is not saying here that everything he did and everything that he had accomplished is worthless. He's not saying that everything in life, his education, his spiritual accomplishments, his faithfulness, his obedience, his enthusiasm is worthless. No, I don't believe that is what Paul is saying here. But when you read the King James, it kind of reads like this, Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The King James uses the English word loss instead of worthless, which comes from the Greek word, let's see if I can get this, zemia, which comes from the base word, Demiseo, which means tame. Tame. So we could kind of translate that verse like this, okay? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but tame. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the tameness of all things. And I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What Paul is saying here is that compared to Jesus Christ, everything else is tame. Everything else is meek, submissive, docile. Paul is not saying everything is a waste of time. No, but he says that in comparison to Jesus, everything else is tame. He says that he considers it as dung. I do count them but dung. Which, that when translated from the Greek, means that which is thrown to the dogs. You know, the stuff that we don't want, that we just throw to the dogs. He said, that's what I consider it compared to Jesus. Because, see, if you don't have Jesus, all that is dung. All that is just stuff that you would give to the dogs anyways. In other words, he places Jesus above everything else. Above his image, above his lineage, above his education, above his spiritual accomplishments, above his lifestyle, above his enthusiasm. He placed Jesus above everything else, folks. And that makes everything else look worthless in comparison. It made everything else look like scraps that you would just throw to the dog. And Paul is writing to the church. Another important thing to remember here is that Paul was not writing to the lost. He is writing to Christians. He is writing to people who are converted to Christianity. So if you are born again Christian, folks, this applies to you as well. This is important to understand. In the context of this sermon title, which is when life is not fair, don't change your position, change your condition. If you are a born again Christian, then your position is right. If you are not, then your position is wrong, and only then you should you change your position. But the moment you are born again, the moment you accept this Acts 2:38 message, folks, the position is right and should never change. Now, let me explain. If you are an athlete and you were selected to run the 1,200 meter, you would be in a specific race in a specific position. You will not be placed in the race to run the 100 meter, for example. You are in the 1,200 meter, right? So your position should be on the course to run the 1,200 meter. If someone should change your position and place you with the athletes running the 100 meter, how would you perform then? Depending on the circumstances, I don't think you'd be doing very well. Because your position has changed from the one that you were intended to be in. You will be out of your depth in the 100 meter. But if you were to run the 1,200 meter race, you would feel that you are at home. You would feel that this is what you were born to do. This was the race you were chosen to run. This is your position. If this is what you are good at, then you would naturally have all you need to perform well in the distance in this position. But say you run the race at the 1,000-meter mark. You are out of breath and you feel you cannot continue anymore. You have not taken the effort to train and condition yourself to run this race. You have given up training 6 months prior to the race because at the time you were in great shape. You were in great condition. You would then place the blame on your position, or would you place it on your condition? Okay, if you didn't practice, and you thought it, just because I'm in shape, I don't need it. So 6 months out, you stop practicing. Is it the fault of your position, or is it the fault of your condition when you lose the race? You would place the blame on your condition. So as long as you are in the race, as long as you are competing, you need to ensure that your condition is changed continuously. If you neglect to change it, folks, you will not be able to finish the race and get the prize. So you need to change our condition, not our position. At this point, I want to explore, folks, our position a bit further. When you look into Scripture, what is our position as Christians? You see, as Christians, we need to ask ourselves what our positions are. In Philippians 3:12 says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended for Christ. This scripture is not easy to understand. That it says that I may apprehend that for which I am, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now they don't, I don't think they have that, but I didn't even give this to them. But the ESV translation says it this way, in Philippians 3:12. I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. We are confronted with a new challenge. What is it Paul is talking about here? What does he press on to make his own? This is where it becomes very important, folks, to understand that we should not read Scripture in isolation. So let's look at the verses before that. Philippians 3:13-14 says, Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Receiving the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. What Paul is saying, that he presses on to one day receive the prize, the crown in heaven, by pursuing the perfect condition of Christ-likeness. He is saying that Jesus Christ, through grace, changed his position to be in Christ, but that his condition has not reached that place yet. So his position cannot and should not be changed, but he needs to pursue the goal of becoming just like Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the condition. I have to become like Jesus Christ. I'm in the right place, but I have to continue to become like Jesus wants me to be. Amen? Hallelujah. In other words, Christ-likeness. Christian. He has not yet reached his goal. Then he makes another statement. He states that in spite of what he has accomplished, and in spite of where he comes from, he has not made it yet. And we as humans, folks, would like to believe that we've made it. He says, I haven't. Paul says in verse 12 and 13, and it says this, Philippians 3:12 and 13, it is not that I have already reached the goal or have already completed the course, but I run to win that which Jesus Christ has already won for me. Brothers and sisters, I cannot consider myself a winner yet. That's from God's Word translation. Paul, in all that he has accomplished, in everything he went through for the gospel, for everything he has done, says that he has not yet reached his goal. If Paul says this, how can we ever say that we have reached our goal? How can we ever say that we have made it? Folks, we reach forward into the future to reach our goal. Amen? Yes, but we will never reach it until the day that we die and Jesus comes and takes us home. Your position in Christ is secure by the grace of God. It is your condition that needs to be developed. You are not yet who you are supposed to be. Amen? You're not there. Now, I don't care, folks, if you're 90 years old and you've been serving the Lord for 80 years. You're still in the race. Amen? You have still to reach your goal. You need to be aware of the need to chase after a better condition. Now, if you believe that you have reached the spiritual perfection, it means that you will not believe that there's anything to pursue. Right? That means that you have either jumped out of the race or you're stuck in a rut. The last position. Back before you believed you made it. Right? Now, if you are content with your current spiritual position, then you've fallen out of the race. Paul makes it clear, perfectly clear, that he has not yet made it. So, we can make the following statement. You need to be dissatisfied with your current condition. So, if we read the letter and it becomes apparent that Paul is discontent with his current position, it has been 30 years after his conversation, and yet he is not content with his position. He hasn't arrived yet. What should be our goal? To be like Christ. In other words, Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. God has a perfect standard, and no human on earth has reached that standard ever. I don't care if they call you a saint later on. You haven't reached it, right? You are still in the race. You are still pursuing the prize. You are pursuing perfection. There's a man by the name of F.B. Meyer. He was an English Baptist preacher in the early 90s. And he said this, "Self-dissatisfaction lies at the root of our noblest achievements." It's true. When David heard Goliath mocking God, David did not change his position. All he did was change his condition. If he looked on Goliath with his own strength, if he took on Goliath from a position outside of God, do you think he would have been able to defeat him with that small stone? Think about it. If David would have taken on, I'll say it again, David would have taken on Goliath with his own strength, outside of his position in his God. Do you think he would have taken down Goliath with that small stone? I don't think he would have. I don't think most of you would have thought so either. But see, folks, David changed his condition. He did not run. He took on the problem face on. And from his position in his God, he defeated the giant. Now, the rest of the Israelites, when they were faced with Goliath, they ran away. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 24, it says, "Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear." What is it today that brings fear in your life? What is it sometimes that makes us run? And just sometimes just wish and holler and just say, I don't understand this. I'm tired of it. I just want to get away from it. What is it today? You see, they changed their position. Why? Because of their condition. They weren't where they needed to be in God. You see, David had had some experience. And maybe that day, folks, he was able to reach back in to some of that experience and remember his condition in his God. He didn't run. He stayed there. Remember that day, what David said to Goliath just before he killed him. This is awesome. In 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 46, David said to the Philistine, to his problem, to his situation, you come against me with a sword and a spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Come on, hallelujah. Change your condition. You understand it, folks? Despite the problem that David faced, he faced it from the right position. What are you facing? What do you do when you are facing problems and troubles, bad things in your life? Do you change your position and run away? Or do you stand and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you because of my position in my Savior, Jesus Christ. I come to you that way. I am sitting in higher places with Christ in heaven, and therefore I operate from there. If you want to achieve anything in your spiritual life, then you have to become dissatisfied with your current condition. If you are content with your current condition, then you're in danger. Now, you might find that you have become unresponsive to sin. You might find that you defend yourself from your sins when, in fact, you should be admitting that you are weak and searching for spiritual strength. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to recognize that you are not yet where you ought to be. You have to run the course because you're not perfect yet. Now, Paul, he accentuates this statement when he wrote to the church of Corinth. He said this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We all sin, so we can never be perfect. Amen? Now, if you find that you have come to a place where you have had enough church and enough prayer, you've had enough teaching from God's word, enough fellowshipping with God's people, enough of reading God's word, if you find yourself at such a place, then you are in danger. If you find yourself at such a place, then you have become as perfect as you believe you can and you should be. Now that means you believe that you are as perfect as Jesus himself, because see, folks, after all, that is the ultimate goal. Christ-likeness. So before you are able to reach out to the future, you have to realize that you have to pursue a better condition. And you have to never allow your condition to change your position, the stand. When life is not fair, don't change your position, change your condition. Amen? I want to open this altar up. Maybe we've been to that point where we're thinking, I'm pretty cool. I'm a pretty good Christian. That's kind of a dangerous place to be. Paul says, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I'm not perfect. I don't think any of us are perfect. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, well, some of those people, well, I sin every day. I need God. Well, you shouldn't sin every day. But sometimes we do slip up here and there. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God that we can run to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. But I do know this, we're all sinners saved by grace. So today, I want you to just come up here and talk to God and say, God, I have a condition that needs changed so that I can stay in my position. How about it, folks? Need God to work on your condition. Come on. Hallelujah, God, I need you. I need you. Life's not fair, but I'm staying in my position.